Doch, Harald.
Will der Fuß immer sich?
I'm going to put him on bare bones. He said,
perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Just going to
you're going to be here tonight?
I want to be here. So the rest of the night, I'm fussing with you. Got it.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm still a Baal Chayv from last week. So we're going to try to answer last week's questions as well as to begin this week's parsha. Really just to discuss the very beginning of Vayera and tie it into what we began to discuss. I'm not going to go back to all the questions because that will take up the whole shir on its own. But primarily, the inyonim we were in on last week, we were trying to understand what was the nisoyin of Lech Lecha. Why is that considered such a significant nisoyin? It's hard to understand that it was a nisoyin at all. And again, I did once hear from Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was trying to explain a posik in Rus. When Rus came to Boaz and asked him, Uforasto kenofech al amosecho. She asked Boaz to marry her, to do Yibum, whatever it wasn't regular Yibum, whatever it was. And Boaz responds, of course we all know how he responds positively, but there's a mysterious pasuk there. Because Boaz tells Ruth, Heitev chastecho achroin min harishen. In other words, the kindness that you did now is even more than the first kindness. He's reflecting back to the fact that Ruth left everything and went with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Eretz Yisrael, which was a huge chesed, and he told her, this, what you're doing now, is more than what you did the first time around. Very strange pasuk. When Ruth came the first time with Naomi, we understand she was giving up everything. She was a bas malachim. She had mamish everything. Even when she first married, when she got into the family of Machlon Vechilion, she got married to Elimelech's children. Even then, there was some level, you could say, sacrifice. But then, we know Elimelech was a wealthy man when he left Eretz Yisrael. That was one of the reasons he left. Chazal tells us he didn't want to be burdened by the financial responsibility for Klal Yisrael. Some learned that's why he was punished. So then at least she left the Beis Malachim. She left her. She was getting also aristocratic family. She wasn't going into the gutters. She was going into a very wealthy family of leaders. So she moved over, Jewish maybe. That's a machlokes rishonim, if they were Megayer, Mizgayer, or they weren't Mizgayer. Machlokes Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Zayah Chodesh. There's a lot of different ways to learn whether they were or were not Mizgayer. But even assuming that they were, to some level, some gayers. Now when Naomi was discouraging her from coming, Naomi told her, you have nothing to go for. I'm too old to have any children. You're not even accepted in Klal Yisrael. Up until now, nobody in the Jewish people would marry a Moyavis. You're wasting your time. What are you doing? And Ruth basically gave up everything to come with Naomi. Everything. But now, she comes to Boaz, who's the Godel Hador, the Shefet Hador, the Oshir Hador. I mean, Alamailas. There's nothing, what could you possibly want? Malchus. It's almost comical that she asked him to be Meshadach with her. What's going on in your mind, young lady? You're a Mayavio. The average Jew wouldn't look at you because he thinks that you're not even kosher. Pliny Almoini didn't even want to marry her. Penashris is Nachlosi. So Boaz now tells her, Heitev chastecha achrin min harishon. This kindness that you're coming to me is more than the first time. The first time she was giving up everything. This time she's getting everything. Manishmei, what's going on here? So Blazer Shach Zatzal said that a person has in their being a nature to reject authority, to reject something or somebody that's trying to force them in a certain direction. So when Naomi told Ruth not to come with her, and Ruth on her own volunteered, that's not so hard. It's hard, but that's a sacrifice that she wanted to make. That's okay. That's okay. But once you have to do something, then you look into every possibility why you shouldn't do it. Boaz tells Ruth, Levilti leich achar habachurim, you should have been looking for somebody younger. What is he talking about? So if Shach explained, because now that you're being forced, now you don't want to do it. Now you're going to find every rationale not to do it. Rav Shach's basic idea was that if you're being forced to do something which really should be relatively easy, it becomes very hard. And if you're volunteering to do something, even if it's hard, you can rationalize and make it easy. And this was part of a bigger shmooze. He was talking about mitzvah v'oseh versus ain't a mitzvah v'oseh. That's what Rav Shach was discussing. That was the only way to somehow, so in that shmooze that Rav Shach gave, he mentioned Lech Lecha as being such a thing too. Yeah, of course, wealth, this, family. But now Hashem tells you got to go, now you don't want to go. So I understand, perhaps, why Lech Lecha could be considered a Nisoyen. But Chazal tell us that Lech Lecha was from the greatest Nisoyenis. Chazal tell us that Hashem used the same Lashon, Lech Lecha Me'altzecha, as he did by the Akedah. When Hashem told Yitzchak, Avram to Shecht Yitzchak, in this week's parasha, he tells him, Lech Lecha HaMoriah, go over there to the HaMoriah, the same Lashon. And Chazal tell us that there's a connection between these two Nisyanis. They're very similar. And Chazal go on to tell us, Eini Yedea, Eze Mehem Godol Yoisel. Could you imagine? I don't know which Nisoyen was greater, the Nisoyen of Lech Lecha or the Nisoyen of Akedas Yitzchak. The conclusion of the Medrash Rabbah in this week's parasha, is that the Nisoyen of Akedah was even greater. Okay, Shkoyach. But it's a Shaila. Maybe the Nisoyen of the Akedah was a bigger Nisoyen, was a small Nisoyen than the Nisoyen of Lech Lecha. It's Machafi Sigur. It's Mamash Apliya. Another contradiction, again, I'm not going to go over all the questions, another contradiction we had was that on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'altzchem Latcha Be'Sevicha Lo Tzashareka, Rashi says, the reason why he doesn't tell him where he's going is Kedei L'Chavava, to make Eretz Yisrael loved. At the same time, Rashi quotes the Chazal that the reason why Hashem didn't tell him where he was going was Lutin Leischal Kol Psiu Psiu, to give him more reward. Every step that he takes, he should get reward. So what is it? Is not knowing where you're going harder or easier? Is not knowing where you're going more enticing or more questionable? Seems to be a plea. So much so, that some actually say that when Rashi says, Kedei Litein Lo Yischal Kol Psiu Psiya, and Rashi says, Kedei L'Chavava, it's two different things. Rashi is dealing with number one, why Hashem told him, Me'artzecha, Me'latcha, Beis Avicha. Avram knew where he was going from. Hashem should have just told him, go. Instead, Hashem describes him in detail where he's going from. Me'artzecha, Me'latcha, Beis Avicha. And then, where he's going, Hashem doesn't tell him. He just says, Elo Rotz Asher Arecha. So Rashi, The way the Marshal wants to learn is that Rashi is actually telling us two things. Kedei l'chavava is why Hashem described where he was leaving from, to make it harder. See where you're leaving from. Artzcho, melatcho, besavicho. Wow, that's a tough move. And then he didn't tell him where he was going. Again, the simple reading of the Chazal that Rashi brings down is not mashma like that, but that's a possible option, possible solution in pshat that the Marshal gives. And lastly, we had another contradiction in Lech Lecha, was what's Avram's policy as far as accepting gifts? When he first goes down to Mitzrayim, he tells Sarah, L'man yitav li bavurich. So Rashi says, yitnu li matonis. They'll give me gifts. Looking forward. I'm looking forward to becoming wealthy. When he overpowers the Melochim, and he saves Lot, so Melech Stoim offers Avram Avinu a lot of cash. All of a sudden, Avram says, nothing. You won't get me to take a shoelace. I don't want you to say you made me rich. What's his policy? He does take gifts, he doesn't take gifts. By power, he dafka wants it. By Sedoim, he says no. And his rationale for not taking it from Stein, L'chaira, is even stronger by Parah. He says, "For Lo Yisaymar Ani Ashalti as Avram." I don't want you to say I was the one who made Avram rich. So let's analyze it. When Parah gave Avram gifts, he was a pauper. Makes sense that Parah would think, you know what? I made him rich. Now Avram is the Chagavir Adar already. He's a very wealthy man. So you're giving him a little more? Okay. The concern of Ani Hashalti as Avram should have been greater by Parah than by Stein. And instead, for some reason, it's Nishtal Nayakasha. The Sifsei Chacham already has a kasha. It's not a new question. It seems to be a conflict in Shita. Both shittas make sense. To take the gifts makes sense. Hashem promised him, you're going to get wealthy. Here it is, Hashem's broch. Right? Not to accept the gift also makes sense. But let's just have a consistency in the shita. Vayera olav Hashem beiloine mamrei v'yoshev pasach oil kachoy mayoim. Hashem appears to have Avram Avinu in eiloine mamrei. And he's sitting there. The Medrash already is oimed on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls this location, which was Chevron. He identifies where he came to Avram Avinu. And actually calls it Eloine Mamre. Mamre was actually not really the name necessarily of the location as much as it was the name of an individual. That particular neighborhood took on the name of Mamre. Mamre was one of the leaders of the generation, secular leaders of the generation. One of the biggest intellects. Very, very well respected individual. And he was one of Avram's three friends, three close friends, Oner, Eshkel, Mamre. So Chazal say, why was Mamre Zoyche? Not only he was Zoyche, but the Torah decided to publicize it. So Rashi brings down, Hu shenosan lo yetzo al amilo. Mamre gets the credit. He gave Avram the Eitzah about the Mila. He's the one. Now, when you read the Chazal, It's Marafis Igra. It's Marafis Igra. Imagine today, somebody has a baby boy, and they make a conference with a group of secular pediatricians to discuss the benefits of circumcision. Shtaka ben Torah, guy is Shema Torah, Kalaka b'chamura. Sitting there in a room with doctors, he's saying, you know, I'm debating whether to give my son a circumcision. I don't know what to do. What do you doctors suggest? He said, the guy's an apikoros. He's an apikoros. I'm not talking about where the kid is sick and you have to get a professional opinion whether he's roi for milah. I'm talking about Stam. I have a healthy baby boy. I want to know what you think about circumcision. I have to know if I want to do it. So two of the doctors say no, one says yes. So the guy who says yes gets invited to the bris. Because of him, you had the bris. You honor him. He's a sandik. So Chazal tell us that when Avraham went, he went to Oner, he went to Eshkol, and Oner and Eshkol discouraged him. They said, don't do it. Each one gave a different reason why. Don't do it. Not a good idea. Politically, physically, not a good idea. Fine. Mamre tells him the obvious, which even a goy shekop that followed Avraham Avinu's life will tell him. He said, Avraham, punishable. He saved you from everything. He saved you, your whole body, all your evorim. He saved you. You were thrown into the fire. He saved you. So now he's asking you to make a cut in one of the evorim. Now you... He told him the obvious. So he gets the credit. So, needless to say, it's mind-boggling. To such a degree that it can't be read kipshuta. So because of that, there's a world of pshatim. What exactly Avraham asked Mamre? What in the world he asked Mamre? Most of the pirushim don't even make their beginning first pass in the Medrash. Yeah, and Rashi brings down just one line. Hu shenasan leitz al amila opens up the door to all kinds of lomdus shezachim. Right? You know, there's a famous bris kerov that says, we spoke about it last week, that why did Avraham wait? Why didn't he do the bris right away? Avraham kept the whole Torah before it was given. So why didn't he do bris? Also, he did the Erev Tavshim. Why didn't he do bris milah too? So the bris kerov gives a very enlightening approach. He says, well, bris is not something you could do before it's given. Because the mitzvah is to cut off the orla. It's not orla. It only becomes an orla when Hashem gives you the mitzvah. It would have been no different than cutting off a piece of skin from any part of the body. The significance of the bris milah is that you're cutting off that which Hashem has identified as all. Famous bris kerov. Bris kerov is coming to explain, Stam, why didn't Avraham do milah before? So some want to take that bris kerov and squeeze it in to this Rashi. That Mamre told Avraham, don't do it before this man. That's the bris kerov. So I hold that Avraham knew the bris kerov's pshat better than Mamre. He didn't need Mamre to give him pshat bris kerov. Avraham knew that. So I never liked the pshat. Any pshat that you're going to tell me that Mamre is teaching Avraham Avinu some lomdus in bris milah is not acceptable to me. But even if I would accept it, it doesn't fit the Medrash. The Medrash says clear. He went to Oner, he went to Eshkel, they told him, don't do it, you're going to bleed, it's dangerous, not good for socially, this. And then Mamre tells him, listen, you got no choice, Hashem, he pulled you through the storm. Now you're going to start questioning. But this is Avraham Avinu, he does Hakadosh Yitzchak without biting an eyelash. I'll cut my son's head off without biting an eyelash. But a bris, that after Yeshayahu's. What's going on? What would have been if he would have asked Onah Eshkel and Mamre about cutting off his son's head? Hashem told me to cut my son's head off. What are you telling him? who knows, maybe even Mamre wouldn't have agreed to that. It's a problem. And Mamre gets a bit, but Mela Mamre gets the credit. Beloine Mamre, and such a way that Mamre gets the credit, that the Torah publicizes it. The Torah doesn't give any free advertisement. There's no bartering here. You know, it's not easy to make it into the pages. But Mamre gets a special, a double schus. Hashem reveals himself to Avraham Avinu in his location. Lufikoch niglo b'chelko. And the Torah goes and lets us know that. Lastly, just one last nekuda. We know that this is the parasha of Achnasas Ochem. This is the whole business of Achnasas Ochem. So Chazal, common Masechah Shabbos, Chazal tell us that Achnasas Ochem is such a great thing that it's even greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. It's even greater than greeting the Shechina. Chazal bring a raya from the fact that when Avraham went to greet the guests, the Malachim, he left the Rabbi Nishla. He was in the middle of talking to the Rabbi Nishla. They're having a discussion. And all of a sudden he says, Al no savor bi adoini, adim no motzos yichein b'inecho, Al no savor me'al avdecho. Chazal tell us Avraham is talking to HaKadosh Baruch. He tells Hashem 1 minute. It's Vayeo Elav Hashem. 1 second, I got to chop these guys. Who are these guys? He didn't think these were the Gedolei Hador. He thought these are Arabs that worshipped the Avak Terochim. He had to make them wash their feet off before they walk in this house because Avei Dezora. So he's stopping to talk with the Rabbi Nishla to go and greet the Malachim. Chazal tell us from here, you see, God lachnos ochim yesim yikabos b'nei Hashchem. It's even greater than Gabos b'nei Hashchem. How could that be? How could that be on any level? How could it be on any level? God lachnos ochim yikabos b'nei Hashchem. It's a pill. It's a pill. There's a famous maisa from Mendel Vizhnitzer. And Mendel Vizhnitzer was in the same generation together with the Ksav Sofer and the Divrei Chaim. He's a Gedolei Olam. So the story goes that Mendel Vizhnitzer came to the Divrei Chaim when the Ksav Sofer was there. The Ksav Sofer, when the Gedolei Hador, a gone Shabbagoinim, took over his father, the Chassam Sofer. You go through the Tshuva's Ksav Sofer, there's a connection, direct connection to the Tshuva's Chassam Sofer. It's Goinus, Kol HaTerakula. The Mendel Vizhnitzer was a Chassid Shechov, a Tzadik, Mamish, a special person, but he was no Ksav Sofer. And Divrei Chaim apologized to the Ksav Sofer, and he went to Makabel Ponim and Mendel Vizhnitzer. And this was a whole, you could imagine this was a huge tumult in the Welt. Mendel Vizhnitzer, Ksav Sofer. Something's missing here. Something's missing. Everybody respected Mendel Vizhnitzer. It's a wonderful person, but this doesn't make sense. So actually, the Divrei Chaim eventually gave pshat, because he heard that this is like, this is going viral. Even those days it was viral. It took longer to go viral. But he heard it's going viral. The Divrei Chaim. And he explained his actions of the Ksav Sofer versus Mendel Vizhnitzer. He tied it into this week's parish, actually. He tied it into the Akedah Yitzchok. So the Pshat I'm going to tell you is like this. I was discussing with the Talmidim last week based on certain events that took place, which are not relevant to bring in right now. But on Friday I had a very difficult day with not Shilas that I like to be asked, a very sick woman. I had to answer with Pikoch Nefashos, I had to answer the Shilas in the middle of davening. I got a call while I was in the yeshiva. I was in the middle of Birchas Krishma. Right after Abaycher Ba'am Yisrael Ba'av, when I got the phone call, I had to go out and talk. So my whole schmooze, which I gave Friday morning, was about that phone call. I told the boys a thought that came to my mind. So I tied the thought into Parashas Lech Lecha. But the thought really is very simple. In Aleinu L'Shabeach, we thank Hashem, Aleinu L'Shabeach L'Adon HaKol, says Kibbul Yitzhak Rishis, Shelo Yosonu Kegoye Yaharotzois, V'Lesomonu Kemishpach Yisra Adam. If you think about those words, they're very difficult to understand. Shelo Yosonu Kegoye Yaharotzois, U'Mishpach Yisra Adam. What are we? We're not Goye Yaharotz and Mishpach Yisra Adam. Somebody would read you a shidduch, you want to know about the boy, and the person would tell you he's not grounded. He's like in space, Yishtiko. It's a wonderful boy, Ruchnius, Talmud Chacham, terrific, but he's Yishtiko. He's Nishmat Alamin, like they say. He's not grounded. Most people would just say, okay, thank you very much, and Kol Tov. I wish this boy all the best. But Hashemayim, Shemayim L'Hashem, Boretz Nassan L'Vnei Adam. In this world, I want my daughter to be with a person that's over here. Goyei Haratzis, what are we? We're not Goyei Haratzis. What are we? We're not Mishpachai Sadam. What are we, Shemayim? We're walking around. Isn't that what we all are? Boretz Nassan L'Vnei Adam. Now think for a second. What is one of the most negative terms used in Shas? Am Haaretz. This bothered me from when I was a kid. Am Haaretz. That's so bad. Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz, a man of the land. It's not Rosho, Mushchis, Pushtak, Bum. I could think of so many worse terms. Bulzhava. In Yiddish, forget it. Shari, sprach loininalo. Right? There's so many negative ways to describe a person who's not living his life the way he should. Frei wie de Wald. Guys, Am Haaretz? If you ask me, I'd rather be. If I have a choice, I can either be an Am Haaretz or I could be an Am from Mars. I pick to be Am Haaretz. I want to be here. It's a big schuss to be here. What's the big deal? But this is the worst sprach. Yim kol adam kol ma shaloi v'al yisa bitoi l'am oretz. Sell everything you own. Don't sell your daughter, don't give your daughter to l'am oretz. You give your daughter to l'am oretz, it's k'sheichev in behema. It's a lo shana gemara. All sheichev in behema. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to travel with l'am oretz. It's l'am oretz. He can kill you. Al chayiv loichos. He's suicidal. Chayiv loichos. He'll kill you. Rebbe Kiva, kishayisi am haaretz. You know what am haaretz is? When I was an am haaretz, I would rip a Talmud Chacham to pieces. Like a fish. I just pull him apart. Kishayisi, don't say kishayisi rosha. Kishayisi mushchis. Kishayisi am haaretz. What's a bad? Okay, it's not a positive. I'm not saying it's a positive title. I understand you're not supposed to be so gashmius, and I understand that. But why is that the epitome of negativity? I'm all it's. So the truth is like this. Every person has a gravitation to the earth. Because we're from the earth, that's what we are. We're earth beings. We have a gravitation to the earth. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained the reason why the human being walks erect versus like the animals that walk generally on the ground. They're generally facing the ground, the human being walks erect, is because there's a consistent, continuous battle between the guf and the neshama. The neshama pulls you up. The guf goes down. we gravitate to the ground. That's where our goof comes from. It's like a magnet. Throughout our lives, that's our gravitation, is to the earth. We have a neshama that pulls us in another direction. And that's a person's challenge through life to keep themselves balanced. Yes, of course, the goof has to be taken care of. Shmartem oid l'naf shiseichem. You have to take care of your goof. But at the same time, to focus on the neshama. That's a person's job in this world. The Sfarim explain, based on this chazal, that's why when a tzaddik dies, it's called neshika. Chazal say it's like pulling a hair, when they give a dimyon, pulling a hair out of a cup of milk. There's no friction. Right? You pull a hair out of a cup of milk. When a tzaddik dies, there's the highest level, misas neshika. Right? There's no friction. Malach HaMavis doesn't have to get very involved there. Why? Because the neshama hasn't gotten so entrenched here. You know, the more earthly one being is, the more there's a pull to separate the neshama from the goof. The more a person lives spiritually, it's like pulling a hair out of the milk. It's where it is. Ultimately, the Gemara says they were tzaddikim that were able to go with their goof to Gan Eden. What does that mean? They weren't anchored here, really. They were neshama people. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Talmud Chacham, the whole week he's a Shabbos, Mr. the Shabbos, like a neshama Yisera. He's on a different level the whole week. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, I believe, two things in Parshas Lech Lecha. He told him, number one, you should know you're gonna Lech Lecha Me'altzcho. I'm going to send you to a country, very special country, Eretz Yisrael. But you are not going to be tied to your country, even not to Eretz Yisrael. You will spend your life following me. El Oretz Asher Arecho. Many times, a Jew has to go into Golos. Hashem already put us into Golos many times. Holding ready now, the third Golos. Beis Hashem, it should end b'mher v'yameinu. Even a Jew in Golos has to go in Golos. Have a goyla l'mkoyim teirah. A Jew is very different than the world around him. The world around him, their country, is what stations them and who they are and what they are. You're an American, right? You're English, you're Canadian. You are a man of your country. That's who you are. The Rebbeinu Shem told Avraham Avinu, I'm sending you on a mission, not just now, but forever, where there's no end. There is no there. There's wherever you're supposed to be, wherever you're supposed to be, Mekadoshim Shemayim. El Oretz Asher Echo. This would explain, as we said last week, the Ramban says Avram knew it was Eretz Yisrael. V'tochen loymar, Avram knew he's going to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem didn't tell him just Eretz Yisrael. Hashem told him, you're going to become a man without a land. The land is not going to be your source. Your source is going to be to follow me. El Oretz Asher Echo. That's a nisoyan that has no end game. Chazal of a havamina that's bigger than the Akedah. The Akedah means there's an end. It may be difficult. It may be the most difficult hour of your life. It's over. After the Akedah, it's over. There's no end. Elo Oretz Asher Arech, and it wasn't for Avraham. We are still living through the Nisoyan of Lech Lecha. Forever, every Jew. El Oretz Asher Arech. Every Jew has to go and travel, whether it's physically, whether it's to make a life's decision. It's always El Oretz Asher Arech. Say Chazal, Litein lo yischar al kol psiyu psiyu. Throughout our lives. If a Jew wakes up and says, you know, I'm going where Hashem sends me, then every step that he takes in life, he's getting reward. Every step that he goes, there's no end game. The end game is Kovet Shamayim. That's the end game. The Ramban explains that Melech Stoim, and he doesn't address our question, but he just says this point. The Ramban says that Melech Stoim made light of the whole miracle that happened. The whole miracle that happened here with Avram overpowering the kings, which was mamish mais and nisim, mamish miraculous. Whether you learn Avram went alone or he went with 318 servants, this was a nes nigla. Melech Stoim comes out of the pit, like we know Chazal tells us. He says, Avram Avinu says, yes, yata deshmaya. I'm also. I'm not part of Avram's God, that nation. I also got saved. Melech Stoim disassociates the miracle with HaKadosh Baruch. I have the same miracle. Not Avram's God. Avram Avinu, therefore, before he took money, he's always thinking, Lech Lecha. Avram's very open to take money. Abishta promised him he's going to be a wealthy man. He's very open to take money. But it has to be a Lohoras Asher Ha'ekel. So Paroi, who acknowledged Vayinage Hashem as base Paroi, Paroi said, you know what? Wow, your God, he gave it to me over the head. I'm paying you off. So you know it's my God. So for me to take your money, it's consistent with Oretz Asher Areko. So your money I'll take. Stoim could offer more money. Mistame was more money. Mistame was a lot more money. But Stoim's geld was coming from somebody who says, Ani, loisema ani ashaati es Avram. For that, it's not worth it. No money from you. That shows you the level of Avram Avinu and Lech Lecha. Because Lech Lecha wasn't just a trip. I'm getting on to an El Al flight, Nefesh B'Nefesh, I'm landing in Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't it. That's also Mesiras Nefesh, Amo. It was a life's mission of following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad HaSoif. Till the end. Till the end. And that's, as he went, that's what he focused on. Is this our echo? Is this a place where Hashem is revealing to me? Is this where Hashem's covered Shemayim? Hashem says, Ve'yei Brocha. After all the brochas, he says, Ve'yei Brocha. So the Medrash says, Brecha. You should be a wellspring. You should be a covered Shemayim. Wherever you go. You go where you could be a covered Shemayim. That was the Nisoyan of Lech Lecha. And that's Taka, an unbelievable Nisoyan. That's an unbelievable Nisoyan. When Avram was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah, so Rabbi Yankiv says that Avraham Avinu only had one shaila. His shaila was, how am I supposed to do this bris? Of course I got to do the bris. They said to make a bris, make a bris. But Avraham was a political figure who used his political position for Horetz Asher Ha'ekel, for Kovet Shemayim. Only Kovet Shemayim. There was no other, nothing else. It's not like L'Havdol Alef Havdolos. Today you see the other end of the politics. Right? Avram used it only for Kovet Shemayim. So Avram had a shaila now. This whole bris thing. Should I make it public? Should I make it private? How do I do this? How should I make this bris? Shaila. So, in order for him to decide, he wanted to see, is this ma'isa going to bring a Kovet Shemayim if I do it publicly? Or is it not? So he went to these three big leaders. And he of course he asked them their opinion, but he wasn't going to follow what they say. He was collecting views. What are you all about, please? What are you all about, please? What are you all about, please? Based on their responses, he will decide if this is something to go and do b'chadrei chadorim. He'll do the mitzvah. Hashem didn't tell him to do it publicly. Hashem said, do it. I'll do it. Well, do I go ahead and put up signs? So he asked Onel, he asked Eshkel, and then he asked Mamre. The Mamre said, of course you should do the bris. The bris is just going to bring out, look, this is your God who took care of you till now. Use the bris as a way of showing your absolute resolution to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a continuation of your what you've been till now. Or kazdim. Everything you were till now. Just use advice. Avram accepted Mamre's advice. And therefore he decided to do it public. Not private, public. Made a bris. Says he made a mishteh. He made a pesuda, Chazal tell us. Everything was public. He wouldn't have done that if not for the fact, and that's why it's called an Eitzah. It was an Eitzah, how to do it. It wasn't the thing itself, it was an Eitzah. But the truth is that the bris ended up making Avram even more able and in a position to be makar of other people. Because what does the bris reflect? The bris reflects perfection. The bris reflects that Avram himself said, I'm not perfect. The Medrash Tanchuma says, even a man 99 years old, still room for improvement. The Chinuch says that the Yisod of Bris Milah is perfection. So when Avram did that, he triggered the world to reawaken itself. And they felt more connected. Avram was afraid they'll feel less connected. Actually, if you look in the Medrash, it says Beferish. The Medrash doesn't say this is why he went to Onar Eshkol Mamre. But the Medrash says that Avram told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm afraid to do the bris. People are going to stop coming to me. That we do find in the Medrash. And Hashem told him, don't worry. Very strange Medrash. I'll show you with your Medrash, even though we ran out of time already. I'll share with you this one Medrash. The Medrash says, Avram Avinu tells Hashem, what's going to be now? People can stop coming. Hashem says, don't worry. Till now you had people coming, right? Achshov, ani upamal yeshili are going to come to you. Now you're going to have Shemayim people coming. So when I saw the Medrash, until I really was maimik, the Medrash was a plea. Because L'chaira, the Medrash doesn't answer Avram's problem. Avram doesn't need the covet. If Avram Avinu was looking for covet, beautiful. Hashem says, listen, till now you have people coming to your house. Now me, the Malachim, we're going to come to you. Shh, that's chosh. Very chosh. Could have it in all the newspapers, right in the middle. Malachim are going into out of Avram Avinu. Centerfold. Avram sitting there with this, with Gavriel, Michael, coming for the Siyumim. Avram didn't need the covet. Avram wasn't looking for the covet. He's okay. Doesn't need any newspapers. Avram just wanted a kind of people. He was afraid. That's what it says. He told Hashem, what's going to be now that I do the bris? Not going to come to me anymore. Hashem says, don't worry about that. Me, ani upamal yadili. They don't need kiruv. The Abish, the Pamal Yidilei doesn't need Kiruv. Avram doesn't need them to come over. It's very nice. Beautiful. Shpizim. It's great. But that's not what Avram's question was. His question was, what's going to be with my Kiruv operation? So I think, in a tifa way, what the Chazal is telling us is a very simple thing. This week's parasha is the first time we find Hashem comes to Avram. Not just Tam, Vayera Elov Hashem. So Chazal tells us that Vayera is a stronger Lashon. Hashem appeared to him on a different level. Not only that, the Medrash says, V'hu oymeid olav, simin lebanecha, that when they're going to be on a bez, then they're going to sit, and I'm going to stand. So we see somehow, after the Bris Milah, Shamayim is more machnia to Avram Avinu than before. What's pshat? So in the Mishkan, I brought down part of this idea. The Mishkan, I brought down that there's a simple fort. Shemayim really had a taina, we should get the Torah. Hashem said, no, Tafka for the Oretz. Why? You know why? Because the Oretz is not perfect. The Oretz has a Yitzhahara, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kina, Chemda, all the negativities that we have. And that's our job, to perfect it. That's our job, to perfect it. That's why we got the Torah. Shemayim has, Malachim have things over us, as far as perfection, but that's Chassaron, because that's not what the Torah is about. The Torah is about perfection. Right? The Malach doesn't have a good Zman. Steig deist is Zman. The Malach's a Malach. The Malach's rock solid. The Eibishter doesn't have to call in the Malachim and say, where were you for Shachris? Loyal Leinu, by us, a person's an oval, all of a sudden he could dive in the whole Yud Alef Chodesh, never misses a minion. So Achmonis, that's what I have to bring to. You know how many people come and tell me that? They say, Rabbi, I never realized that Taka could dive in every single day without missing. The truth is, it's a wonderful thing that somebody does it in that massive. It is. I'm not taking away from it. But it shows where we are. Right? Malachim don't have that problem. Take the worst Malach in history. Saul Shalesov. Saul Shalesov. Davins Vesikin. Not Stami Davins. He doesn't daven in the 9:45 Shtibul Minyan. If there's man Krishma. Shalcheni Kiola Shacha. That's the Saul Shalesov. That's the bad Malach. So there's no, the Malachim don't have a problem getting up in the morning. I had a chasen the night before, stuff at work going on, I can't wake up so early. The Malachim are solid. But for them, the Torah is not, it doesn't perfect them. The moment Avraham Avinu did a bris, and he brought out the idea that the human being perfects themselves, that's what we have over Shemayim. All of a sudden, Shemayim comes down to us. Because that's our thing over Shemayim. Shemayim doesn't have that quality. The Malachim don't have that quality. We do. Simin lebonecho. That ani pamalia, my pamalia, stand up while they sit. That's the vote. That's the bris milah. And that is going to be mechazek Avraham Avinu's kiruv. So when Hashem told him, me and my pamalia coming to you, was another way of Hashem saying, you will be able to strengthen the main purpose of what this world is all about. He wasn't telling him, don't worry, you'll get the COVID. Me and my chevra are coming to you. He was saying, you're going to bring out this idea of change. And with that, you'll be able to have more people than you had before. Similar bonach. Memela, since this was a way of being marbe covered shemayim, so Eloni Mamre was zoicha, that his COVID was Nisrabe. Wasn't just, he got a lot of COVID here, because he brought this Nakud down. And that's the pshat, when Avraham Avinu left the guests, left for the guests, it's all the same thing, it's part of Lech Lecha. When he's talking to the Shechina, he's not being marba covered Shemayim to Shemayim. His job is to be marba covered Shemayim to the Oretz. Is because this is a way to bring even more covered Shemayim here, Ba'oretz. And that's why he was worthwhile. He wasn't giving the guest more covered than Shemayim. He was using the guest as a vehicle to give covered Shemayim. So when Chazal say, God l'achnosos orchem yesim mikabos p'nei Hashchin, it means that achnosos orchem is a way of giving more covered Shemayim to Shemayim then talking to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's the God Lach Nosuch. Okay, let's stop. Okay, Mendel Vishnah, so we'll say that already, once we say that. The Ksav Seif, the Divrei Chaim said, there are two mountains in our history that were very special. Har Sinai and Har Maria. Two great mountains. Which mountain did Hashem choose to dwell? Har Maria, this week's parsha. Strange, no, isn't it? Har Sinai, the whole Torah was given on Har Sinai. Why Har HaMoriah? So the Divrei Chaim says Gevaldik. He said Har Sinai reflects all the Torah. Torah? It's taka unbelievable. Har HaMoriah represents the Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh is the sanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's Kiddush Shemayim. Of the two, which did Hashem pick? The mountain of Mesiras Nefesh. So the Divrei Chaim said, the Ksav Sefer is Har Sinai. He's Har Sinai, he's Kol HaTorah Kula, the Ksav Sefer. But Mendel Vizhitzer was a person that lived with total Mesiras Nefesh. No Parnassah, no nothing. Every day of his life was Mesiras Nefesh. He says, so that's like the Har Maria. So I had to take a turn to the Har Maria. While I had the Har Sinai in my house, I had to go to the Har Maria. But that's the same idea, because the function of everything is Elo Oretz Asher Harecha. That's the ultimately where the Kavod Shemayim comes from. Okay, Agud Shabbos. This always happens, Chesky, when I have less time, I speak longer. Now I'm so late. Okay, let's go. We better.
The sweep, right? It's basically to separate the sanctum and the service.